Frog Talk with Ricky Baez and JC. Enjoy the show!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another amazing, fantastical, stupendous episode on lockdown of HR Talk. It is no different than a regular week between Ricky Baez and I. I'm all the way up by the northern border where it's extremely quiet. There's no airplanes, no truck traffic, no anything going on. There's no dolphins. There's no movement of anything of any kind between the countries. And all the way down in sunny central Florida, ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth, the legend, the man who knows HR like the back of his hand, according to what I read on Twitter, Ricky Baez.
You know what, JC?
What's that?
We deserve some credit here from the government. And the reason we deserve some credit is because you and I have been doing this show in this format for more than 2 years. So we have been social distancing champions for over 2 years. So that is our thing.
It is our thing. It's our thing, you know? And here's one of the things about our thing right now is anyone that listens to like regular terrestrial radio, right? If you tune into like, in my area, it's WGR, okay? It's the sports radio talk station. They have it on AM. Yes, that's still a thing up here. I don't know why they're not on FM, but regardless, that's fine. But a lot of these radio shows, these hosts, they're doing it from their homes. And they sound like complete shit. They do. Like, okay, listen, any broadcast entity out there, if you need assistance in the back end build out of your broadcast setup for your remote workers, give Ricky Baez or I a call. We'll be more than happy to help you out.
Yep.
Ricky, listen to the sultry tones from this man from Central Florida on the microphone. I'm going to pass it over to him. He's thousands of miles away. Ricky, talk, please.
So, yes, we are. It's JC and I are thousands of miles away.
See, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I just muted him, and it's fine. See, he's got an amazing voice right there, and he's thousands of miles away. Let's go back to Rick.
Yes, thousands of miles away. But this, you know what? I can't take credit for this, man. This is all you. JC is the mastermind behind hiring all the line workers to make sure we got the appropriate fiber optics
line?
That they built it all the way. Line. L-I-N, November.
I thought you were offering some lime for my Corona.
And no, it's good. Hey, nobody's heard that before.
Yeah, I know. Hey, Rick, all the lame jokes aside, there was a very special tweet that went out there from, I don't know if it was the face, if it was the intern, or if it was one of the senior executives associated with HR Talk, but they did send me a text message right before the show and said that you, sir, have to pull up the Twitters to read some of these recent tweets. I guess there was a shout-out request that was going on right before we went into record. Is that right?
So, yeah, so I'm looking... I'm looking at this right now, and I don't know who put this out there. It says, at Ricky Baez HR is a smooth character with the smile of a Greek god who knows whose knowledge of HR is only second to a few. What? What the hell is that?
Oh.
Well, yeah, thank you to sweet. Either Lucy the intern. I don't know who wrote that, but thank you. Okay. Appreciate it. I don't know if my smile is that of a Greek god. I does need some help, but thank you. I really do appreciate that. Yeah, okay, so I read it.
That's like the only tweet, though?
That's the only one that actually I like.
Yeah, so unnamed source who's inside the Onion was like, yeah, there's going to be hundreds of comments. You got to read them live while you're recording. Yeah, people are going to be chiming in and commenting on how they like the show and things that they want. And they put the tweet up just minutes prior to us hitting record. So I was like, yeah, you're probably going to get like maybe one person. And I think it was probably like the other person that was sitting in the room that replied, you know?
So that's exactly what happened. So thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
It's all delirious, man. It's writing all kinds of crazy things. This quarantine stuff is really getting to people.
Well, is it quarantine? What are you talking about?
Because
I'm on lockdown. I'm on lockdown.
So you're in the Western New York area, so all of New York is locked down.
Locked down, but it's not shelter in place. Because shelter in place, as per the governor, is indicative of an active shooter situation, so it's just locked down. Non-essential travel is prohibited. Across the board, civil penalties and fines come into effect after that point. Where California is on, I think, lockdown. Like, you have to stay inside your house and there's patrols or something. Like, I don't know. I don't know how this is working. There's so much going on. Look, we should ask our guests more about that coming up momentarily.
I was going to say, we have a guest, right?
We actually do have a guest. Ricky, go ahead and set the stage. Let's introduce our guest today.
All right. So our guest today, we met at Disrupt HR Gainesville 2.0. And you might want to ask, why all this talk about Disrupt HR, whether it's Gainesville or Orlando? That's because Disrupt HR is badass, guys. It really is. If you wonder why we're talking about it so much, it's because it's awesome. So this event was no less awesome. So we have Haley McCoy. JC and I met Haley McCoy there because she just happened to be invited. She's not in HR, but her friend is in HR, and that's how she came to go to Disrupt HR Gainesville. She is the master hairdresser in the entire Gainesville area. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Haley McCoy.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
It's been a long time coming. I know we've been talking about this left and right, and we actually got to spend some time together after Disrupt HR Gainesville 2.0. We went to a place in Gainesville called Gators, right?
I think it's called the Swamp where we went.
Oh, got it. The Swamp Gators. They had beer. We're okay.
That had to have been brutal for you, though, going to that place. You like hating the Florida Gators the way that you do. Like, I'm an actual Gators fan. But you are like anti-Gators. Like, for years, you were like, I'm the Gators.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a Miami Hurricane fan. I know they have their family issues, but it is what it is. Fine.
Yeah.
So you're in the most iconic bar in the history of the Gators franchise. And you, what did you call it again?
The Gator? It's called a Swamp. And I'm like, I'm a Gator. But you know what? Okay, so I'll set that stage up. So after the event, you know, a whole bunch of us are talking, and then our good friend of the show, Summer, said, "Hey guys, we're going to the Swamp after this." I'm like, "Awesome, we'll follow you." And I'm like, "I have no idea what that is."
I get in the car. You say to me, "Hey, we're following Summer into the Swamps." I'm like, "Yo, white boy ain't gonna die tonight." You know what I mean? I'm like,
"Well, I didn't know if we were going to a restaurant, a bar, or an actual fucking swamp." Excuse me, buddy. To me, I just didn't know. But anyway, we went there. We got a nice table. There was a good ambiance. We had a blast. But Haley and I and JC, we all got to annoy each other. So to know each other. You did not annoy me, Haley. I'm sure I annoyed you.
Okay. No, you guys are great.
So can you tell the audience a little bit about you and tell us all about Haley?
So I'm a hairstylist here in Gainesville. I've lived here for most of my life. I went away to college for about a year and a half. So I did get like away for a little bit, but I do hair. I think fifth generation from Gainesville. So Gainesville is very much my home.
Wait, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
You're good.
So you grew up in Gainesville.
I did.
It's time to go to college. You went away from Gainesville for college.
Away. Yeah.
Oh, talk to me about that. What's that all about?
So when I was like here young, as like a kid, and through high school, I went to a really small private school, and the thought of going to college with everybody that I went like to school with from the time I was in preschool, I just wanted to get away. And also UF is huge, so I wanted a really small like class environment.
Okay.
Which is what Stetson had, and I got a scholarship. So I went there for a little bit, but then I ended up really missing Gainesville and so I came back.
So Haley, where did you attend school?
I went to Stetson University.
No, and I apologize. I lost a good portion of my hearing in the Marine Corps. And did you say you went to Bozeman University in Montana?
No. No.
Stetson, though, like the cologne?
Stetson. Yeah. So Stetson is, I think it's named originally after, you know, the hat?
Yeah.
Like, 'cause we were the Hatters, so... it's a very, very small school.
Very intimidating name for a football team.
I know.
Well, the Hatters.
Well, part of the reason I feel like I came back to Gainesville a lot when I was attending Stetson was we didn't have a football team yet. So,
yeah, you guys just got one like 2 years ago, right?
Yeah. So,
yeah. Well,
so, well it's okay though because the University of Phoenix still doesn't have one, so it's okay.
Yeah,
they do. They got Madden. It's okay.
All right,
they
got Madden. My bad.
Thank you very much.
So you're away. You're experiencing that college lifestyle. You're absorbing culture and environments outside of where you grew up. You're fifth generation from Gainesville. So even before you head off to school, at this point, there's probably a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety and emotion about you continuing to carry on the family name or stay within the Gainesville area. Like, this is a transient community in a way, right? I mean, people come and go to school, they leave, they don't really set up shop and stick around, or do they?
Well, people are starting to do that. Gainesville was one of the fastest growing cities in the United States, I think like 2 years ago or something. So people are starting to stay, but it is still a very transient community. We have the huge hospital, Shan. So a lot of people that are getting their residency come here and then leave after. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the college students, I feel like a lot of them that I talk to stay after they graduate, at least for a little bit, because Gainesville's a really welcoming community. So
for you, though, what was that motivating factor to go away, to go see and experience more?
A big part of it was because I'm from here and I know a lot of people within the community, and I just wanted to kind of feel a little bit of autonomy, I think. And my family really encouraged us to go away. It was kind of like a family thing to go at least 1 year away to school to experience other sides of the world, I guess.
So kind of like Rumspringer.
That was like, I don't know. That
kind of like, like Amish Rumspringer. Like go away, go experience culture. Yeah. We'll see if you come back to the sect when you're done.
hold
on, Haley. I have to ask, because not everybody knows. Stetson is in DeLand, Florida, right?
Yes, yeah.
So that's what, DeLand. An hour and a half away?
Yeah, very.
Is that really going away?
Well, by horse and buggy, Rick, that's much further.
That's true.
I mean, so originally I had planned on going to this college in Tennessee called the University of the South, Swanee. And then Stetson gave me a really big art scholarship to go there. So
it's a good school, by the way.
Yeah. So
I'm not knocking at Stetson. I'm just saying the away factor. It's only an hour and a half away.
Right. It really wasn't that far away. And I was coming back almost every football game weekend and bringing all of my friends with me because we didn't have a football team. And then also all of my friends, we would come visit and tailgate and do the whole thing, and they just really loved Gainesville. So, yeah.
Fifth generation, though. I mean, you are definitely the minority in that town.
Yes.
I'm actually in Florida, period. Yeah.
Yeah. The bulk of people in Florida aren't from Florida, though, right, Rick?
Yeah.
Right. Correct.
Yeah. They're not from Florida. To find somebody that says they were born here, grew up here, and fifth generation, that's really hard to find in this state these days. Really is.
Yeah. I don't meet many people that are from Florida or have, you know, that many generations of family from here, but there's a few, but I don't meet people often. So
Haley, if we go back in time just a little bit, how was it growing up in a city that your family helped basically found?
I mean, it was really great. I had a really great childhood, and I didn't know any different, and I still don't really know any different way of like being raised, but I never really got how cool it was that my family really is from here until I went away and came back, and I realized, you know, the community that we have as just being from here is really great. And knowing a lot of people from where I, in my community, I never really realized that until someone else pointed out to me. They're like, you're so social, you know, like so many people. And I don't really feel like I know yeah. that many people, but when it comes down to it, I guess I do. But growing up in this environment, I mean, it's just the community of Gainesville is so rich and full of variety, but also the football team being here is like, and the college, obviously, yeah. the university is a huge part of growing up here. So even though I went to a different university, I still was a Gator fan. Does that make sense?
No, it does. It does. But something just hit me. I just put two and two together. Fifth generation in Gainesville. Your last name's McCoy. Do you have anything to do with McCoy Federal Credit Union?
I don't think so.
No. Oh, okay. All right.
I well, thought you were going to ask me about the McCoys and the Hatfields. A lot of people ask me about that.
But that's, well, that's a real thing, though, Haley.
Yeah, it is a real thing. Yeah.
It is.
And is that still that's still a fight that goes on till today?
I have no idea. People ask me all the time, especially when that mini series was out. They were like, is this your family? And I don't think so, but I haven't really like, looked to see for sure. So
just run with it. Run with it. If next time somebody asks you, just pause real quick, start tearing up and say, I don't want to talk about it. Just walk away.
There's this.
You should do that. You should run with
There's been a couple times when I've met like people with the last name Hatfield in random places, and they, we always like give each other a hard time. But yeah,
I have yet to meet a Hatfield.
I've met two. And there's one that I, so there's a wine store that I go to purchase. It's a local store in the community that I go to get, you know, my wine or whatever. And the guy, I guess he's the retail person who checks me out, his last name is Hatfield. So he always like gives me a hard time. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't know.
Just, I'm telling you, play it up. That's what you should do. Just play it up. And then let somebody else do the research for you. Either either they'll say, oh my God, this is the great, great granddaughter, or no, she's full of shit. Either way, you did no research. You let somebody else do it.
Yeah. So I should look it up.
So at some point when you came back to the Gainesville area, you chose to go into business for yourself, or you currently work through a specific salon in the area? You are a professional hair designer, is that correct?
Yes. So I work for a salon in the community. It's in a really big neighborhood called Hale Plantation. The salon I work at, Salon 119. I am not independent, so I work under commission for them. Okay. And that's for me easier. So it takes a lot of the like business kind of technicalities out of my hands, and I can just focus on like the art of what I do.
That's good.
So that's my situation.
Are there a lot of people that you work with though that are the independent contractor that are leasing the space and pushing in, or that's not part of the business model of where you are?
Yeah. So, well, there is the salon that I'm at is a hybrid salon. So there are some independent contractors, and then there are some like people like me that are just working under commission.
Whoa. How does that work?
So
if you got 10 people in the salon, five of them are W-2, the other five are 1099 contractors.
But they're leasing the space. They're renting the chair.
Yeah, they're renting the chair.
Yeah, but here's the thing, right? So I just thinking out loud here, I'm trying to see how that would work, because as a manager, you have to be careful how you treat those commission folks who rent the chair versus the W-2, because from a legal perspective, you can't treat 1099s like W-2s or vice versa.
Right.
So I'm wondering, how does that work? Do you guys have team meetings on a weekly basis, or how does that
work? Not really. We don't have team meetings on a weekly basis. I think that my boss was really, really thoughtful and selective about who she hired. And we all just really are a team. Even the people that are working independently, we mm-hmm. all are constantly, I think we're all mature enough to realize if we all just like help each other out that we're going to accomplish more all together and mm-hmm. as individuals. So, we do have staff meetings, but not super often. And we just have a really good group of women that we all work together really, really well. So, I haven't experienced any like negatives from there being some people that are independent and then some of us that are commission based. So
I need your feedback.
But I think that's rare.
I need your feedback on this one, Haley. In New York uh-huh. State, as of this weekend, barbershops mm-hmm. are now considered non-essential, and they must, barbershops, hairdressers, hairstylists, any personal services, all must close under our wow. existing right. lockdown. Now, and that's given the state of, Rick, how'd you say it? The coronas, right? The state of the coronas?
The state of the coronas, yes.
So in the current state of the coronas, we have nothing happening here. It is closed down. Right. In your area, are you experiencing that yet?
So far, we are staying open until we're told we need to close. We have a pretty small salon environment, and there typically isn't more than like four of us working at a time. And that's when we're really busy. So we've been able to kind of keep people separated, and we aren't allowing, like, if our guest comes and brings like five people, then the five extra people aren't allowed mm. to stay, which is like kind of unusual. Normally when people bring people, we'll let them like hang out, but we still are staying open.
Are you cutting hair wearing gloves?
That's what I wanted to know. Yeah. Are you wearing a mask or like a hazmat suit?
What extent do you go to for personal protection or what's being provided by the employer?
So we aren't wearing masks. We do have gloves that we can wear. I didn't even think to wear them, to be honest. It's kind of embarrassing. to cut hair, just we've been doing like extra sanitation measures. So just being like over, like extra, like in between every person that's in my chair, I sanitize like my entire station. Yeah.
That's common practice though, right? Because I know at least in the state of Florida, for you to be a hairstylist or own a barbershop, you need a license. And in that licensing, right. the schooling that you need to have, there is a lot of regulations on how often you have to sanitize, what right. you have to sanitize. And right. I do know that these inspectors pop up by surprise, and you better have your stuff squared away. I know right. this because one of my clients owns a barbershop. And okay. I learned so much about that.
Yeah, industry. I mean, we're already super, we have to be diligent in sanitation no matter what. So for me, my sanitation practices aren't that different than before because I just try to keep everything extra clean all the time anyway, just because, I mean, we see so many people a day. Mm-hmm. And I also think it shows respect for your craft if you are try to stay very sanitary. So for me, it's not that much different. Mm-hmm. I would say like wiping down the chair from top to bottom in between everybody is a little different. Like we're taking extra time to do stuff like that. But anyway, yeah. So we have not shut down yet, but we're just kind of waiting to see.
So there's
basically
Haley, there's a lot of stories about there about people lying right now, lying that they don't have the virus, lying about their current right. health status and situation so that they could continue on with something that they just want to do. Let it be go right. hang out on the beach or go to the bar, get their hair cut or whatever the case may be. Right. All the way down right. to people going into establishments, let it be to partake in whatever the service may be, to then walk out with toilet paper tucked under their shirts. Like, you're not seeing that. You're not experiencing it. Not with your clientele, though, right? No.
No, not at all. I mean, everybody has been really respectful. I have had a lot of clients cancel, which is
fine. That's my question. Yeah.
So
what percentage are you seeing canceling? I mean, is it a big chunk?
Yeah, I would say at least 50% of my clients.
Wow, that's taking a bite out of your income.
Yeah, definitely. But wow. I have really generous clients. Like one of my clients came to her service and then she ended up giving me a really, really big tip, like beyond normal, and just told me, you know, we're all in this together. Me and my husband insist on you taking this. So that was like really, really
amazing. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Good. Yeah. All right. I mean, I just wish more people were like that, right? Because now it's and here's the thing, Haley. This whole COVID-19 really, it's not showing us anything we didn't already know about humanity. But I'm sure it's a good reminder about there's some people who are complete a-holes and some people who really are here for the right reasons. So it's awesome that you met somebody that way. So
yeah, I mean, she's like one of my favorite clients anyway, but for her to go out of her way to do that was just like really heartwarming, and it was really helpful. I mean, I am having a lot of cancellations, so getting any sort of compensation like that is unexpected is really great.
So JC, so up in New York, so getting a haircut and stuff like that is considered non-essential, huh?
Yeah, it's illegal now.
It's illegal.
I think as of now, it may be illegal, and you cannot do it, you know?
So, but are people allowed to go to work, though?
Well, all employers are encouraged or told. I can't remember the exact language, and it's very important and very specific language. It's very good language. It's very clear. And it's the best language. But what it's saying is,
we get the freaking point. Yes.
What it's saying, though, is that if you employ the peoples, you need to let them work from home, unless you can't, and then you need to make a business decision, right? So this is where employers are in that employment labor law pit of despair right now as to, am I laying people off, and is there a separation taking place so that they can move forward and go potentially get unemployment benefits? Yeah. Is there a leave of absence on the table where you do have a reasonable expectation of employment, but during this time it's a temporary leave and it may not necessarily qualify for a termination, and paperwork might be different. Yeah, okay. No, it's not clear at all. But that's completely a business decision right there, right? But from the state's perspective, they're very clear in that no one outside of essential services like hospitals or liquor stores, they're to remain open. Was so funny.
Definitely essential in that order.
Oh no, that's really the order. There's more that comes after it. Once I hit liquor store, I stopped reading though because I was like, oh, what the frick?
You know? We're good. We're good.
I'm like, okay. I'm all set. You know, okay. Yeah, but it's going to be evolving. You know, this is changing day to day. It's there's a lot. It's a lot.
Yes, it is changing day to day, but it's so with my day job, we have to monitor every state's different ordinances because we got people in different states that work for us. So it's weird because essential travel for one state can be completely different to what essential travel means for another state.
Oh, absolutely. If you take a look at the rules in California right now, some of the rules that are in place about essential services, it talks about broadcasters, and podcasters are specifically listed as an essential service.
Yes. Well, yes. Well, no, because podcasting has grown 70% in the past 7 years.
A lot of the podcasters in California suck.
True.
The shows are terrible. You can't even listen to it. It's like a guy and a girl sitting in a room laughing every other word.
Yeah, I know. So stupid.
Yeah, no, I'm stupid, but serious. You can't even listen to the friggin' stuff. And it's like, hey, I got a podcast. Oh, cool. Let me tune in. Oh, it's only a 12-minute podcast. Well, great. Okay, let's give that a shot. And then you carry on with it. You're like, oh, well, thanks for just preaching to me for like 12 minutes, you know? It's good though. It's fine.
It's a source. It's a source of information for people. So I mean, whether it's credible or not, I guess people will have to decide on their own.
Well, but, of course.
Yeah, but here's my question, right? It's to me, and this is going back to Haley now. To me, I would think getting a haircut as far as a hygiene campaign would be an essential function. If you say,
what the risk that puts those employees at risk? What if someone comes in and they're shedding the virus and they're sitting in your chair and they haven't told you, and now you're cutting their hair, and next thing you know, a piece of that. Whatever, you know, the virus, it's all in you. It's all over you.
Wait a minute. You have a better chance of catching it if you're face-to-face with somebody getting coffee than somebody who's behind you, and there's no connection there.
Are you kidding me right now?
I don't see that happening.
How often do you go into a hair salon and walk backwards the whole time?
Never. I've never been into a hair salon. A barbershop, okay, I have done that, though.
How often do you go in a barbershop and walk backwards?
No, I mean, no, but you go in and you sit down and you're facing away from the person.
I'm here to get a haircut just today. Like
that. How are you? That's what needs to happen.
You look at their face.
Do you really?
Haley, do you look at their face?
Help us out here.
Sometimes we are in a face-to-face besides saying hello. Like, if I'm doing hair color, that can happen. I think just being cautious and really trusting your gut. Like, if someone comes in and I feel like they are sick, I have the right to refuse that service.
She's saying I'm right, JC. Haley's saying I'm right and you're wrong. That's what she's saying.
No, she's not.
I think it's a combination of both. So I think that as a professional, it is partially my responsibility that if I have a client in my chair that I think is sick, like, I can ask them to reschedule their appointment to when they feel better, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, it is a lot of trusting your gut, and even when this coronavirus isn't happening, that's like my biggest tool, is really trusting my instinct on, you know, my interaction with my client.
But Haley, that's the way it should be, though. I mean, this is your niche, right?
It's
her niche. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
No, it's not. Her niche. She just agreed. It's her niche.
No, just because she had no other option. So, Haley, how long have you been doing hair?
I've been doing hair for almost 8 years.
8 years, right?
Yeah.
So I heard you say earlier that you like the fact that you are being commissioned by an organization because you just don't want to deal with the everyday business aspect of it. But is that in the future? Is that in Haley's future?
If I found the right situation, I love working with other people. Like, I think the only way that I would really want to rent a space is if I had like my own personal studio, which they do have those, you know, in our community. They're hard to get into, but regardless, I love working with other stylists. So I feel like I might get really lonely if it was just me.
No. So we got this for you, Haley. Here's what's going to happen. So you're going to, next year, 2021, you're going to go ahead and open up your own studio. But it's going to be a different studio, right? It's the studio everybody knows and loves today. But the only difference is, as people walk in, as they're waiting, JC and Up are going to be there set up with the whole HR Talk podcast, having conversation with people and just calling the shot all day long. It will be an all-day event. We can be, you know, we can have wings frying up in the background. We have food, beer, tailgate. We call the beauty swamp. Boom.
Boom. Perfect. That's sounds right. Like a plan.
You need to go get that website.
The beauty swamp. That's really good.
There you go.
I think I need to write that down.
Yes, you do.
So the way it stands right now, if the salon was to close, you as an employee, Rick, and you may have to help here, that differential, if that salon closes, what's that difference between Haley and her status and the independent person two chairs down?
That's just it. That's why I find it really interesting, because if the salon is to close, I know there's a lot of information that's been coming out from the executive branch of government talking about what is the stimulus package for everybody. Right. I'm still filtering through that because it's still kind of muddy, because I don't know what that means for the 1099 workforce. Now, here's my thing. From an employer's perspective, I don't know what they, the employer, can do to help the tenant and I work and navigate through that process. It's much easier for the actual employee to do so, as muddy as it is right now. So I think, again, I'm not an attorney and I haven't filtered through this 100% and get a full detail spec on it, but I think the tenant and I work for us are going to have some problems. Because I don't know. So, Haley, I'll ask you this. If you was to get laid off or your contract was canceled, can you file for unemployment in the state of Florida as a 1099 worker?
I'm not sure on that because I'm not a 1099
worker. She's not a 1099
worker. But, no, no.
Yeah, but your colleagues are, right?
So, yeah. But they wouldn't be able to. So the way that someone would get out of, like, you can't get fired necessarily by your landlord. You can get evicted. But
I mean, same thing, right?
Yeah.
So get out of here, right?
But that can, so that can go on, though, for a while because you technically have to, I think, go to court to your employer has to.
And see, I'm just wondering. In New York, they put a seizure in place of all evictions. No evictions for the next 90 here too. Days.
Yeah, here too. Yeah, in Orlando, they put a Sheriff Mina came out and said that they're not going to do any evictions.
Who did?
Sheriff Mina.
Thank you.
He's the sheriff here in Orlando, in Orange County. For those of you who don't know, he came out and said that they're not going to do any evictions for the next 60 days or so. We just had a curfew go in place from starting this past Friday, 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. There is nobody is to be outside except emergency vehicles and people traveling to and from work. So 11 p.m. to 5 a.m., not that many people. But you know what? I guess drug dealers and prostitutes are going to be okay because they're working during that time. So nothing's going to happen to them, apparently, according to Sheriff Mina. So, no, but yeah, but that's in place right now, which, you know what, though? I find it odd. We're going to, so the whole idea behind this for this quarantine or this curfew is to keep from people from gathering and to stop the spread of this virus. But they picked the time frame that people gather the least to do so. So I don't know of any mass gatherings from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. on a Tuesday night. I just don't. But you know what, though?
They're probably trying to prevent people from going to bars.
No, that's exactly what they did. Because earlier in the week, they stopped all in establishment alcohol consumption. So if you go to a bar, you can't order a drink to drink it there. But for the first time ever in Orlando, they are allowing you to take it home with you.
So wait a minute.
So just order, take it home. They're doing that here, too.
Are your bars and restaurants still open?
They are open.
Not here.
For takeout and delivery only.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Same here in that regard. Yeah, no, I got you now. I got you.
Yeah.
Disney is not going to be opening up again anytime soon. On the last show, you talked about that, how they were going to be closed for like 2 weeks. Brother, this is going to go a bit longer than 2 weeks. I can't even imagine how they're going to break a travel ban just to get to see the mouse.
I don't think it's going to be open. I don't think it's going to open anytime soon. The way this is going from what they decided to do a couple of weeks ago, everything has changed. I think it's going to be closed for a longer period of time for a much bigger impact. Now, Disney is doing the right thing. They are paying their workforce. So are the other parks. Hotels, though, they're going to hurt. They're hurting. Lowe's Hotel closed last Friday.
Yeah.
And they everybody's gone home. They are not getting paid at all. Other hotels are following suits. Other restaurants are closing down to the public. They still have a skeleton crew operation, but that helps. The kitchen staff is good. But the service, not really, because they do rely on tips, and that's going to hurt them big time. Big time. So yes, it's hitting here in Central Florida because Central Florida, we do rely on out-of-state dollars quite a bit, and right now those dollars are not coming in.
Is Gainesville technically Central Florida too, or is that technically not Central
Florida?
We're
north. They always say north Central Florida.
Yeah. So are you guys feeling that pinch up there?
Oh yeah, for sure. Okay. Like, it's kind of crazy. I mean, this whole thing is unprecedented, I think. So it's just crazy seeing, you know, all of the restaurants and bars being closed, basically, or a lot of them are closing. Some are staying open for takeout. I'd imagine that the hotels in this area are, you know, getting a big hit too. So,
well, you know what? You got two kinds of people out there, right? You got the kind of the server who who is really suffering and they're not going to get paid and they're going to go in a corner and cry. Or that same server can think differently, be innovative and be like, wait a minute. So if I'm not going to make money here, where can I make money? Boom, DoorDash. Boom, Uber Eats. Because now those services are going to jump up.
Hey,
like nobody's business.
Or go to Walmart and stock some shelves for $17 an hour. $17 an hour.
True. Seriously. Is that how much they're paying up north?
$17 an hour to stock the shelves, brother.
Wow, look at that.
Aldi, $17. You know, I think it was Walmart's $15. Aldi's 17 because there's the whole mandatory 13, whatever it is. And then there's stipend on top of that, a $2 extra just to get people in the door. And a lot of these trucks, they're unloading, but they don't have the people at work to restock the shelves. And now people, amidst the entire toilet paper rush of things, they're in a position where they honestly, you know, aren't able to unload those trucks right away. One of the things that I find real interesting, and I'm not sure if either of you have experienced this as well either, look at us going all the way down the rabbit hole now. You know, I'm getting tons of emails though from every CEO under the sun. And, you know, if we go back 7 years, hey, this is the CEO of this ballpoint pen company. Thank you so much for purchasing our pens 7 years ago. I want you to know that we're here for you. And if you need, we provide discounts up to 20% on those items that are overpriced right now. You know, it's like every single CEO is coming out with these messages, and I love it. Yes. I appreciate your support. I love the fact that you're doing, but at the same time, I don't have enough money to take care of every sale and take advantage of everything that I could right now. I'm kind of losing my mind with it. I love all the sales, but I'm like, I'll get this thing in the email. Haley, I know you know what I'm talking about. You get the thing in the email, and it's saying, this is an unprecedented, once-in-a-lifetime-only sale. And you're like, oh, my God, I need that thing. I need that. Yeah. I've been waiting for that. And I can't afford that amongst everything else that I'm doing right now. Even though you're knocking $3,000 off the $17,000 price of this thing, I can't buy that custom manicure set or whatever the frig it is. You know, it's crazy.
I thought she was talking about every CEO sending you a message to let you know how they're handling this COVID.
Oh, yeah, no, they put it together in one message. It'll all be about how they're handling it and then what we have on sale.
Every organization I've ever given my email to, it's all here's what we're doing. I don't care. Just ship my fossil bag. And I'm good. I don't care what you're doing over there.
Yeah, but
just ship my stuff and I'm good.
We're not getting the messages from like the key people. Okay. So let's say that you have Spectrum or Comcast, something like that, right? Have you gotten an email or message from them that specifically says, in wake and in light of the current evolving situations, we're increasing the bandwidth of all internet services in the domicile for you specifically and your community? They ain't coming down the pike, man.
Yeah.
No. I mean, you know what? Give it time. Give it time. Because now every other CEO that maybe have not sent anything, they see everybody else doing it, they're going to start doing it too. Now, watch. Verizon Wireless is going to start sending you emails on what you need to do to prevent the spread of COVID-19.
And I don't even have them.
Phone calls. What the hell? That doesn't make sense.
And I don't even have them. And they're going to do what they can to get my business in the meantime too, right?
They are. And you know what? While we're on that topic, I know you mentioned about the supermarkets, and this is what's happening here in Florida, JC and Haley. Let me know if it's happening in Buffalo or
I love that already, though, how you make the claim this is what's happening in Florida, and you define it to me and her like she's not in the real part of Florida. Like North Central Florida is in Florida.
Because Orlando's a whole different state. Boom, mic drop, pick back up.
Once you get north of Ocala, this thing gets crazy.
I mean, I'm sorry. She was just going to go to Tennessee for the University of the South that she has to drive north for. That makes no sense. So in order to prevent people from hoarding and buying all these things that they should not buy, and then creating an issue for people with disabilities and senior citizens. What Publix and other organizations have decided to do is the first 2 hours of operation is dedicated so only for people who are 65 and above.
Yep.
And so from 8 to 10 or 7 to 9, whatever it is, they're only allowing people in who are 65 and above. And I started thinking, are they checking? Are they checking IDs? And if they are, is that not a violation of the EEOC or some kind of law? You're allowing people in based on their age?
No, based on the way they look, right?
Ma'am, you're okay. I'm 48. What are you talking about? I'm
37. I had a real rough time at the Red Lion.
Right? No, but I know nobody's going to challenge that because I understand why these organizations are doing it. But it begs the question. So I'm wondering if there's any attorneys out there. Maybe Dave Miklas can call in and just let us know if there's any legal issues with that. Because we have it for everything else. You can't discriminate based on giving people employment
it's
based on age.
Unprecedented times. Don't even open this can right now. Come
I
on.
Know. Okay,
you're protecting the older aspect of society. By allowing them to have this time. I know you know that. Haley, what do you think?
Haley, go ahead, Haley, because you don't
know. I mean, we are definitely seeing the same thing. Like, I was at Publix a couple days ago trying to get some stuff in case we shut down, like, up north for, like, a week and I can't go anywhere. And, yeah, you were only allowed to get two cans of soup, or they were kind of limiting how much of each object you could purchase.
Welcome to Cuba.
And it was really, I don't know. I just found it like very interesting. And it made me wonder if people that have bigger families, like how they're kind of, you know, adapting to that, if they get like one family member to go and get two. And so, well, yeah, we're definitely seeing those effects here. And I think that limiting the first 2 hours to the elderly population isn't a bad idea. I mean, I don't know the legality of it, but
I'm just bringing that up because it would be illegal otherwise somewhere else.
Right,
but it makes sense. I know where they're doing it.
I wonder if they are taking advantage of that. Because I haven't gone, like, the elderly population. Like, I haven't gone to see, you know, like,
oh my God,
are they
that's
all,
a good point.
Like,
none of us are allowed to go to see it.
Yeah, so I kind of want to, like, go see, like, if there's people lining up outside of the store. Like, are they carding them? Like, you guys were saying, like, I'm interested now.
They wake up at 3 in the morning anyway, so 7 to 9 a.m. is their lunchtime, so it's perfectly okay for them. I'm sure they're there. I'm sure they are there. But I'm just wondering how are they checking and making sure that happens. But
I don't know. But I guess they would probably check IDs, I'm thinking.
More than likely is your analysis. Right at the door.
Pee in this cup. I'm like, oh, my God, it's dust. Yeah, come on in.
Get over here. I'm stuck in the revolving door, though. You know,
do they have, like, you know how when they card for alcohol, you have to look, like, I think it's, like, 40 or something? Are they doing that with the elderly people? Like,
Tomorrow. I'm going tomorrow, and I'm going to check. There's a public.
I want to know.
Yeah, I'm checking. Yeah. I'm going to document it. And you may or may not see me in jail. It depends.
Okay.
So the reason they're doing that is because a lot of people are hoarding and buying all these things. And we saw this happen during the last hurricane scare here in Central Florida.
Hoarding. Got it.
Hoarding.
I didn't hear the D at first.
I got it. Got it. Well, that's between 11 and 5 a.m. So
senior citizens only.
So a lot of people are buying Clorox in bulk, buying all these things that are taken away, it's disrupting the supply chain. So what these organizations decided to do now, they're saying there's no refunds. If you buy all these things, you can't take it back to the stores. There's no returns.
Rick.
None whatsoever.
Rick, this is awesome. We're about to hit unprecedented times. We're not even there yet.
I know. But that's awesome, though. I'm glad.
Now look, I'm not saying that with any knowledge of any kind. But if you take a look at the way that things have gone over in Europe and in Italy and in Spain and the trends that are currently occurring, it seems reasonable to think that in the next few weeks, we may be at a point where we're not really leaving our homes for anything.
That's likely. That's likely because 2 weeks ago today, we didn't know we were going to be in this state of affairs right now.
No.
So these things are changing on a week by week basis. And again, it's these companies like Zoom, which is the organization that we use for this podcast right now, they are going to become more and more popular. They are, because I just saw on on LinkedIn Friday night, there was like four or five different the social distancing happy hours via Zoom.
Okay.
Where people get together like this and they have their drinks. So that's going to be more relevant.
Question for Haley then. When you're talking about your client base, given the service industry that you're in, if we reach that point where in your state they close things down to where you can no longer perform hair design services in the salon, it's understood that you're not going to start a video chat and tell someone how to do it. Or would you?
I mean, I don't know if that would make it so where I couldn't go to people's houses and do one-on-one hair cutting. Like if I wasn't like, that's what I would move to probably is offering my clients me coming to their house. But if that's not allowed, then I would just encourage my clients to wait until things get better because I don't cut my own hair. I don't color my own hair. And I know how, you know what I mean? Like there's a reason why we can't do it ourselves. Like I can't see, you know, the back of my head. So
from the independent perspective, in the same way that we're getting all these emails from every CEO and person under the sun, would you see yourself moving towards a model of staying in touch with your client base just to touch base or say hi?
Yeah.
Or, hey, you know, let's work on future schedulings or bookings.
Right. Yeah. I feel like our industry has moved to that in a way already. Like people are more in touch with their hairstylist than maybe 10 years ago, I think. Like, I don't know, partially my clientele base is people I've known for a while. So I've already kind of shifted to every now and then, if I haven't heard from someone, I check on them kind of thing. So I probably would at least check on my clients and say, you know, if you have any questions or anything like that, please don't hesitate to contact me. I would definitely, I try to stay in touch with them, you know, in a professional way, just, I think it's a good way of, you know, maintaining that relationship with my client because a lot of times people put off self-care services. So
you kind of have to right now in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen some hair designers on the Instagram where they create that private account. Or actually, you know, it's kind of like the majority of the posts, there might be one or two that are public, but then everything else is locked down in private. But then they're showing tips or you know, creative design ideas or things just to keep people's mind moving.
Yeah.
Is that within your scope?
I would totally consider doing something like that, especially because I do makeup too. And that would be a way for me to be like, hey, you can do this quick look. Even though you might not be going anywhere.
Right.
So yeah, that's
you know what though? All jokes aside, even if you're working from home, it's a good thing to get up and shower and get ready for the day and make yourself even though you're traveling.
Why? You ain't going nowhere.
Even though you're going from your bedroom down to the office in your basement where it looks like Kathy Bates has kept you locked up forever. You have a different mindset when you dress and get ready for the day or maybe go for a walk or whatever the case may be. You feel better about yourself in your life. So it's not a bad thing in that regard.
Yeah,
here's a question for you, Haley. When you're thinking about the supplies as well, to date, have you seen a reduction in the amount of supplies or the quantity or things that are available within your industry of service because they're coming from China?
I have not yet been affected by that personally in my business. However, one of my friends is, this is a little bit off topic, but kind of not. So she is getting married and she's not getting married till October. And the people that she's getting
congratulations to your friend, by the way.
Congrats.
So she's not getting married till October, but they're telling her that she, like, this was a couple weeks ago, like, she better figure out what dress she wants now, because they're not going to be coming from China, you know, like, there's only a certain number.
Yeah.
So I imagine that might happen to us with gloves and stuff, but I haven't seen that happen yet.
You said blood?
Gloves. Yeah. Like hand gloves.
Oh, gloves. Got it.
Like, yeah. If the glove fits.
Oh, that's a, so now JC gets it. That's awesome. Oh, that's what you meant. The murder reference.
North Central Florida.
No, it's good. Yeah. When you go to these supermarkets, I'm starting to see a lot of people wearing gloves, and I saw it's every organization that I'm walking into these past week or so, everybody's wearing gloves, and it begs the question, does that really help out? Because it's not that how
it helps. I don't think it does. It helps the person wearing the gloves.
I feel like it helps if they are conscious of like using them correctly, just like how you're supposed to use like those face masks. I've heard people saying like you have to be conscious of like the way that you're using them. So if someone goes into the store and is using gloves the whole time, but they don't take the gloves off, you know, and wash their hands. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, but so that's what I mean. What I mean is, because the only way you can get the virus is if you touch it and you touch your face and then it goes in, right?
Right.
But if you're wearing gloves and you still touch your face, it defeats the purpose. So,
right.
If you know you can't touch your face and you're supposed to wash your hands, then don't use gloves. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I feel like it would make people feel like this false sense of security.
That's and worse like, then.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like unless they're using them properly and they're really conscious about taking them off and like I feel like it could be a risk. Just like the face mask. One of my clients is a doctor, a physician, and he was saying like, if you get face masks, use them correctly. Like, don't get one and then like think that you're going to be immune to getting something, you know.
And then they're not as careful because they're operating under the false sense of security and safety.
Right.
I'm having that at my day job right now because I know the EEOC tells us that we cannot tell our associate they can't wear it, only if it's a safety issue, meaning if they work like at a machine shop, something where it could get caught, although it'll snap off easy, but it'll create a safety hazard. But it's in outside of that situation, they can wear it. So the question to me was, should we hand them out? Can we tell people not to wear it? And I'm not going to do neither, right? Because I can't tell people not to wear it. I would definitely encourage them not to, because then what kind of message does that send? Like, if you have somebody to come into your house, for example, if you have, I don't know, a plumber or an electrician, they come over, you see them wearing a mask and all this protective gear, what's the first thing that comes through your mind? Like, ew, are they sick? I don't want them in here, right? So it's we have to worry about the optics as well.
Yeah.
We do, right? So with that say, Haley, I do want to ask you to see what your thoughts is, because I know exactly how you said, these are unprecedented times where we're seeing the economy, the market, employees, bosses behave in a different manner than what we have seen in our professional lives, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess my question to you is, what are you going to do, Haley, the entrepreneur, Haley, the hairstylist, if the mayor of Gainesville says everything shuts down, or the governor says everything shuts down?
Right.
What kind of innovations are you going to employ to make sure that you still meet the demands of your clients?
I mean, for one, probably my first thing that I would do is I would try to get in touch with all of my clients and just say, you know, I'm here, I'm not going anywhere, you know, we just got to get through this time. If you have any questions, I would definitely try to open the dialogue with all of them. Like, questions on how to style your hair since you can't get a haircut, you know, when you're used to, or questions on like what products should you be using? Because we could stay, I don't know if we would, I guess if we were shut down, we wouldn't be able to, sell products still, but we could I could take orders for the future.
I was going to say, or just have them delivered. Right.
Yeah. Because, so.
Being disruptive. The whole
right.
Service. I don't know. Do you use Instacart?
And ours and like, do I use it in general? Or?
The app, yeah, the app Instacart.
What is that?
It's a service. It's an online service, and in that online service, what you do is it pretty much shops for you. You tell them what you want to buy at the supermarket. They pick it up and they bring it to you.
Yeah. So I use an app called Shipt.
Same thing.
So yeah, I could see, you know, kind of going to that.
Yeah,
platform in a way.
I haven't tried the Shipt app yet.
Shipt.
Yeah.
PT there, JC. PT, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Matthew. No. I got it. Yeah, I got it.
Okay. Got it. I was gonna say. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, the two of you have been talking for a little bit. When you were talking about the masks before, I actually had to find mine because I received it in a shipment not too long ago. I need to show you, and then you could please describe this to people as we talk about it as well. But you were discussing how people need to get the right kind of mask and use it the right way. So as this was all happening, I found such a deal online. Okay. So I got this mask and I wanted to make sure that I could use it the right way just in case of the whole Corona thing. Now, Ricky, describe this if you could.
It looks like the top half of a demented old
It's a Halloween
serial
mask.
Killer.
It's a Halloween mask. And
it looks weird, dude.
Look, I'm going to tell you something. When you buy something online and it says that, oh, yeah, you're buying this mask to help with Corona, double check the description, because when it comes in and it looks like a Halloween mask of an old man, you have not purchased the right item. This will not help other than keep people away. That's all I'm going
to
tell you.
There you go. Then it's doing its job.
Well, you might be able to try to sneak into the early supermarket hours.
That is true, right?
It could help with that, right?
There's good old JC coming up. Good old JC coming over here. Yeah, he's good. He was born in 1908. He's all right. He's got a felony. Okay. We're good. What in the hell? That looks so hideous. Hold on. I got to get a picture.
It's my Corona mask.
Hold on.
Haley, I think I'm well protected in case of Corona now, don't you?
I think that people will keep their distance from you.
That is 100% true. Hold on, JC. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do a screenshot because this looks really, really, really weird. So you actually bought that for this reason and that's what they sent you?
It was a Corona mask. I'm like, okay.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I got a Corona mask and I don't know what to do.
Well, since you're working from home, you should wear that bad boy every day. Hold on. Come on. Come back. What are you doing? He went away.
Very hard to
use. Took it off. Fuck.
Anyways, I interrupted your actual serious conversation there once I finally found my mask. You know?
No, we were just talking about the whole, it's how everything has changed, how people have to be really innovative. I used Instacart app.
Yeah, the Instacart, the apps and stuff like that. Let me tell you something, though. You wind up going to the store and you buy something right now on the lines. It doesn't matter what store you're on. When you go to pick it up in the store, everything is curbside now. And some laws have changed. Yeah. It really depends on your state, too. But from what I'm seeing is you could go all the way to Home Depot's and they're going to walk to your cars and put the stuffs in the cars, which is very good. And then when you're talking about the Walmarts, they'll be doing it there too. The CVS, the Rite Aid, the drugstores, like any of that stuff, like curbside pickup for all of it, all the way down to the food and the bars and the liquors and the everything. Everything's plural and it goes into plural things.
But what is it doing to being a social human being?
What
because
do you mean?
Just yesterday again, I ordered Instacart. They came in. They just left it on the porch and left, just like last week.
They so should.
People, no, they shouldn't.
Best Buy is going to start doing that too. They're going to be doing it with their services. Installations happen no more. So if you order that $7,000 television, they're going to bring it to your house and leave it on your doorstep and walk away.
So
you laugh, what is but that I'm going serious.
But I mean, then you know what? If that's the case, then order a $7,000 television to be delivered.
Okay, so right? What happens if you need an AC repair when you're down in the Floridas there? So what
that's
happens?
What's
then?
Happening right now?
So what that's happens? The delivery right guy comes and he puts the tools on your doorstep and says, "Okay, open your phone it. And I'm going to teach you how to do it." Right? Like, where do you draw the line? Like,
well,
the
that's what Haley and I were talking about right now.
I'm going to put the scissors on your doorstep. I'll show you what to do.
Well, you know what, Haley? That's a good point because you was talking about in case everything gets shut down that you're going to reach out to your client. So I just had an idea while you were saying that you should have DIY videos. Why not?
I mean, I think the DIY videos are like good in theory. I think I could do a DIY whatever video to maybe for like a bang trim, but not for a full haircut like that. I don't even know.
No, I get that.
Bang videos.
Someone, you know.
No, don't call them bang videos, Haley. Please don't do that.
I won't.
Don't listen to JC when it comes to
that's
that.
That's what she just said she was going to make, Rick.
No, bang. No, I'm ignoring
maybe
that.
Maybe fringe trim. Fringe is a better word.
Fringe bang videos.
Or just give them, just make them a, just give them a video that gives them that interest that will make them want to call you later.
Just make it easier. We have to develop different things for society. Okay. So like in the same way that like back in the day, you used to have that little slot in the door and the mailman would put the mail in the slot in the door and it would fall through the slot. And now it's inside your house. But then we got the mailbox later on. Right. So we need something on the doors where you could take your head and put it through it. And it creates a hermetically sealed thing around your face and your orifices just so your hair hangs out the door. And then your drive-by cutters could come by and cut your hairs and then go back in.
So now a viz is going to cost $800.
Not even. It's just a hole. It's a hole in the door. Oh, put the hole in the door.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next subject then. Move right on.
Listen, I encourage the DIY videos or the DIY or however you want to phrase it. It's very good. It's very great. It's going to be the best. But at the end of the day, whether or not you choose to do that is an extreme circumstance compared to where you are right now. It really is.
Start thinking about it right now because things are going to get even weirder and we're going to have to be ahead of the curve on how we're going to mitigate that.
Let me ask you both a question. I got a question for both of you. I want to start with Haley on this one, though. When you're thinking about your day-to-day routines,
right?
The life that you lived 3 weeks ago, like in our head, we're not fully transitioned into a mindset of like, oh my God, everything is so radically different yet. We're just like existing day to day. But on the backside of this entire thing, if you compare life the way you lived it 3 weeks ago to the potential of what life could be like 3 months from now, could you see a lot of things in your day to day that'll be drastically different? Things that you did before that you may not do anymore?
I mean, things already are in a way. Like, I go to a gym that is like that practice is a big part of my life and it's shut down. So I've had to totally change. That's one thing of my life, but I've had to completely change that. You know, my life does look so different than it did 3 weeks ago. And so thinking about the future. What was your what was your original question? Like, you know, am I prepared for that or
no? More so.
So,
when you think about that future, you
right?
How drastically different compared to where you were?
I mean, it's so drastically different. I mean, it has the potential to be, you know, like us living an entirely different type of life. Yeah, not being around other people is weird already. And it's just we're going to have to think of ways of interacting with each other, you know, not person to person.
Well, you see, Haley, that's just it. That's just it. You have to think of ways of how to do that, right? You got to be innovative with it. But I see a lot of people already that are just cowering in a corner. Oh my God, the end is coming. We're all going to die. And that's anybody.
It's anybody.
So it's life is going to change. Just do what you need to do to get over the fact that life is changing and
pull
yourself up by your bootstraps and go ahead and do what you need to do to adjust to it. But complaining, crying about it's not going to help anybody out there.
Exactly. I just don't think that that's even an option. Like, you know, it's
to
like
some people it is, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just so, you have to adapt, or you know, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, so here's the thing that I'm seeing, right? From my perspective, I'm seeing a lot of people that are being disingenuous in what's happening to them, just taking advantage of the situation, right? JC has that mask. That thing is so creepy. That thing is so creepy. It is. It is. I got to get a picture of that and put it on the show notes. No, but I mean, it's one example is, at least in my office, I do have some protocols out there that if we see people that are sick, and they're exhibiting the symptoms, we have to send them home.
Do you know people that have gotten sick?
I know people that are sick, but they're not positive.
Okay.
That's a great question. That is a great question. I've been asking the same question. I know no one.
Yeah, I don't know anybody.
Well, hold on. Nobody that's sick or nobody that's positive? Two different things.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, because either. I can have an upper I can have issues breathing, right?
Right.
But, and I can be diagnosed with an infection with that, and it's not the coronavirus.
Right.
When I'm sick, right? So that's the thing. I know a lot of people who are sick. This is the flu season. Pollen is everywhere. Allergies are all over the place. So my team and I are exhausting our resources, investigating these cases on a case-by-case basis and make an adjustment call to send people home.
Interesting.
What's happening is people are lying, saying they're okay because they can't afford to go home.
Which
I get that. I get that, right? But if you're sick, you've got to self-quarantine or you do what you need to do.
But you as the employer, you're going to be in a position where you might not even have the opportunity to demand that someone comes to work, though. You might find yourself in that position. Maybe not right now, but it might be coming.
Well, wait a minute, like because New York I do State. Have some people who, well, people are taking advantage of it right
like
now,
California.
Right? Because I do have. So, but here's the thing:
like Iceland,
I've got people right now telling me
Italy.
That they're sick, they got the sniffles, they want to go ahead and stay home.
You know what?
But they only want to do it on Fridays and Sundays.
What's wrong with that? Let them stay home the whole time. Let them work from home.
They want to do it on Fridays and Mondays.
It's social distancing. So, let them do it all week.
But, No. Hold on.
Let them do it all week for the rest of the year.
You're not listening to what I'm telling you.
No, I don't want to hear
what I'm telling you.
I know. They only want to do it 2 days a week.
I'll just power it through. It's okay.
They only want to do it 2 days a week. And in your mind, you're thinking the workday is normal. There's no change to you guys.
So what do you do with that?
You force the company to change because something's going to change.
Nah. Company's not going to change with that.
Company's not going to change. Then what if they come in and they say, okay, all non-essential people are not allowed to show up, and you do not provide a essential service. Your employees are not allowed to report to your workforce. You're an employer that's encouraged to have your workforce work remotely.
So what if none of your work can be done remotely? Now what?
That's a good question.
So a Walmart queue greeter cannot work from home. So now what?
It's a very big question.
He's such an idiot. No, but we have to take a look at each and every case separately. So we are sending people home. Thank goodness we don't have anybody that has tested positive, but we are taking some precautions with people who know people who have been exposed to people, and we still got to do what we need to do to quarantine them. Now, the opposite side of that, I got a great story, JC. So I found a story.
According to you.
Yeah, sure. According to me.
Okay, well, let's hear it, and let's let Haley judge if it's a good story.
All right. Haley, you're going to be the judge. And you're perfectly qualified because you have a comment named after you. So here's what's going on. So we have this guy in South Carolina. This is from Fox News by Robert Guidry. In South Carolina, man lied about positive coronavirus test to get paid vacation.
Oh my God.
So he lied. So he, I guess the organization is saying, if you get this virus, go home, we'll pay you. He's like, hey, I got it. And he decided to go on vacation.
Seriously?
Yeah.
So, oh my God.
Yeah. A South Carolina man was facing charges after being accused of forging a doctor's note saying that he had tested positive for the coronavirus and presenting it to his employer, which shuts down for 5 days for disinfecting. So,
oh my God. So he affected their business too.
Well, it got shut down, right? So they're going to get paid, but I guess he asked for more time to completely be out. So he lied about it to get vacation when other people are lying that they're not sick just so they don't lose a paycheck. We got 2,000 people out there right now. But what's going to happen is that organizations who are not able to do telecommuting work, they are going to have to shut down.
Yeah. Because
if we shut everything down, I don't know what's going to happen to them. Right now, my organization, we are looking into that. We're about to mobilize about 3,000 or some odd people to work from home, which is going to be a little bit not a little bit, it's quite a bit of a challenge.
Yeah. So are there people that work for you that are used to, you know, working from home at all? Or
not my entire team.
Are you going to have to like teach them like, this is what you do?
Well, you know what? It's funny you say that because we do have a lot of leaders who do work from home and they have experience in that. But the majority of their workforce, about 90% of their employees have never, ever worked from home. So now since we're setting these things up to get them to work from home, we're focusing quite a bit on the IT infrastructure and everything they need to do and processes. But I put together some points for the senior leaders because there's some soft skills that are needed here to help manage a remote workforce for a workforce that's never done it before. So there's a lot of things that we take for granted at the office that if you have employees that work from home, that it's going to go away. So the 3 points that I gave them, the first one is set clear expectations. So when you have an employee that's never worked from home, now you're going to send them home. He or she knows nothing that's going on at the office except by what they read an email and what you as their leader tell them.
Right.
So if you set clear expectations and you have normal touch bases throughout the day, namely at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day, that way that employee still feels like they're a part of the team because it's really easy to get distance and it's really easy to get disconnected and then the social distancing thing really takes a negative toll.
Right.
The other one is have more robust one-on-ones. So normally organizations do have employees do have one-on-ones with their managers, vice versa, whatever. But they're just nonchalant because you see them every day anyway. And if you're working from home, it is crucial for you to stick to your one-on-ones. It is undeniably crucial because this is their only connection, quote unquote, to the office. So it's you have to be more in depth. You have to keep them more often. I know sometimes you do have to cancel them or reschedule them, but don't never, ever cancel. Make sure that you still keep that one-on-one with them. So those are some of the trainings. Oh, actually, and the last one is use your technology. Skype, video conferencing. 50% of human communication is nonverbal. So if you take away that video aspect of it, there's a lot. Yes, it is. JC's giving me that nonverbal face. you see, you're proving my point. He and I having a conversation right now nonverbally. 50% of it is nonverbal. So if you take away that video aspect of it, you're going to have a hard time guiding those conversations, right? So again, those are some things that leaders need to know and they have to understand. Another bonus one though, Haley. A lot of schools are out, and a lot of daycares are shut down. So all these people that are working from home now, they're also at home teachers and daycare workers to their kids. So leaders need to be understanding that if they're having a conference call, they hear a kid crying in the background. Don't give them a hard time. It's everybody's trying is trying to deal with this the best way that they can. And now you're running daddy daycare at your house and you're trying to it's going to get crazier. So just expect it. just expected. Yeah. I'm interested to see where we're going to be exactly a year from now. Because
I am too. Yeah, it's just a month ago, my friend and I were talking about this yesterday. A month ago, we would never have thought that this is what, you know what I mean, was going to yeah. happen.
I know. Yeah.
So,
the cruise industry stopped. Travel in some places has stopped. It's look, folks, anybody out there that has a 401k, do not look at it. Yeah. Don't look at it.
Look
if
at
you
it.
Value your sanity, if you value, just leave it alone.
Stare at it.
Leave it alone. No, you know what? Actually, you know what? Bump up your percentage because now's the time to buy. Yeah. Now is not the yet. Time to buy. So bump that. Yes, it is. So. I'm not a financial advisor, but I got to tell you, my 401k, I'm bumping that bad boy up because in about 5 years, that's going to yield some amazing value to me. So,
hey, for the both of you, do you feel yes. that on the backside of this entire thing, going to that question that I had earlier, just kind of compounding upon that, do you think it's going to radically change the face of the way that we work and live in the current environment today where employers did have more fear about having people work from home? And then now during this time, as more employers enact that, can you envision a time in the future where some of these standards that are in place allowing people to work from home have been laxed and now this becomes the new norm and we are in a new society where commuting to the office is out the window, so to speak?
It's going to be the new norm. And for all those organizations that laughed or scoffed at the telecommuting theory, and they didn't want to give it the time of day to see the application to see if it's feasible, Mother Nature's forcing us to do so now. So what's going to happen is here's the application. It's going to prove that it's going to be more efficient. And organizations who has had a longstanding rule or environment to where that was a big no-no, they're going to have some interesting questions to answer right now.
Or you might have people leaving. You might have people leave your organization if you're demanding that workforce has to show up every day because they know if they go to the call center across the street, they could work remotely from there and still try to get people to buy Cruise Line insurance or whatever the frig that scam is.
Award insurance? Okay.
You were awarded a cruise line.
Reward.
Yeah. No. Award. Yeah. We're awarding you a major trophy, that being a cruise line tour. And with that, would you like the insurance?
What, insurance for something I had to pay for to begin with?
That's
right. Sure.
That's right.
I'll be the sucker.
Hey, no, I got something for you both. If you're ready to move on, because you didn't answer that question really, but you did.
Yeah, I did.
But this next one's more important. You ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is time for current events.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Current events this week brought to you in part by Tito's Vodka. They didn't pay us to say that. We just like to drink it. This first news story is going to be coming from the Daily News. Governor Cuomo places New York on pause as coronavirus cases soar above 8,500. That number is much, much higher as of now, 2 days later. This was written by Dennis Slattery, Dave Goldiner, and Chris can't pronounce your last name. Go to the website, NewYorkDailyNews.com, for more info on that one. But the gist of it, on Friday morning, Governor Cuomo announced he was putting the empire on pause, meaning non-essential workers need to stay inside their homes at all times except for critical travel, such as going to the grocery store or pharmacy. This is a unprecedented action aimed at curbing the fast-spreading coronavirus, the China flu, as the number of cases in New York surged above 8,500. In a press conference from Albany, the governor said he did not make the decision lightly, and he stressed that the move was necessary in light of New York becoming the United States epicenter of sorts for the respiratory virus. So, if non-essential employees can't do their job from home, they'll be out of work entirely. The state has encouraged affected New Yorkers to apply for unemployment benefits immediately. The sweeping order goes into effect Sunday at 8 p.m. We are recording the show on Sunday today, being the 22nd, and this will just be in 7 short hours from now. It's unclear how long the lockdown is going to last, though officials said earlier this week that the virus may not peak in New York for another month and a half. Barbershops, beauty parlors, nail salons, tattoo studios have to shut down by Saturday at 8 p.m. Cuomo announced as part of a separate executive order following in the footsteps of restaurants, bars, cinemas, venues, theaters, schools. Crowds are completely banned and people are urged to always stay at least 6 feet away from others at all times, even if you share a home with those people, because no one likes to be near others. The New York State Police Department will enforce restrictions, though individuals aren't at risk of legal consequences. Businesses, on the other hand, can be fined and shuttered if they violate the restrictions. Now, essential businesses. This includes grocery stores, liquor stores, banks, pharmacies, public transportation, public safety agencies, news organizations, gas stations, and laundromats. They will remain open through the pandemic, although on-site employee capacities will be severely restricted. Now, officials are considering an order that would require grocery stores to limit crowds to 50 people. Food delivery services are still allowed.
Hold on. I may have missed it. So the drugstores are going to remain open, but people are not allowed to go.
I don't know. The way it read to me was that it's still going to stay open and that some of these places can allow. Okay, it requires grocery stores to limit crowds to 50 people. As far as the drugstores, the pharmacies, they will remain open. I don't know if you can go inside. You might have to use a drive-up or curbside service.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Just listening to that is weird. Like, especially when you're saying the 6 feet away, like everybody needs to remain 6 feet away from each other.
Do you have
it
a
sounds
dog?
Like a, it sounds like a sci-fi movie.
Do you have a dog?
Do I have a dog?
Yeah.
I have two.
6 feet away! Right? No, that doesn't work. Okay, this is being called the Matilda's Law in honor of Governor Cuomo's 88-year-old mother, and it mandates that any New Yorkers above 70 years old stay home at all times and rely on younger people to grocery shop for them, since that age group is at risk of suffering more severe symptoms from the virus. Residents older than 50. Matilda's Law. Yeah, that's the name of his grandma. So residents older than 50 who have pre-existing conditions or are otherwise immunocompromised are also considered part of Matilda's Law.
50 years old?
So if you're 70 and older, you have to stay home no matter what. Residents older than 50 who have pre-existing conditions or are otherwise immunocompromised are considered part of Matilda's Law category.
That's still pretty young, though. I mean, you know.
Still,
yeah. Wow. 50.
Okay. I'm going to tell you something. In the wake of all this, there's only one other time in my entire life I can remember going outside, looking up to the sky and not seeing a plane. And that was after 9/11. And this has been absolutely shocking to me and bringing back a lot of like traumatic thoughts when I go outside and I don't see a single plane in the sky. The only aircraft I hear going over is military or border patrol. And that's even sparse at that. It's not completely sparse. I mean, people are still doing their job. But commercial air traffic, there's not a single plane in the sky. Have you seen one?
Here in Orlando, I mean, I live by the airport, south of the airport, so I see it all the time. So all travel in and out of New York is canceled.
I don't know about that, but I haven't seen a plane.
Why do you not see a plane?
I don't know. Okay. There's no planes.
Wow. Wow. Okay. No, I even if there was no travel in and out of New York, I mean, you could still fly over it, right, to get to and from Canada. Canada shut down.
Canada shut down. Land border shut down. Yeah. Air border shut down. Yeah, that's true. But at the same time, some of that is false news and false information. And I do just want to put this out there. I don't have the cited source or link right now. Let me see if I could grab it for you, because this is actually very important. Travel.
Oh, is this a 10-hour thing or the hour thing?
Maria. So I was watching The Money Honey today, Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business earlier, and she was talking with Chad Wolf, the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, and he was very specific and clear. And we've seen this as well through many news outlets and sources, in that there's misinformation about who could travel and what's happening, and there's putting a lot of fear into the financial markets. And while there is a restriction in place for travel at land borders, and I don't have the exact language, and I'm not representing the exact language either. You got to Google it and look it up. But at the end of the day, they're restricting certain aspects of travel, but not the aspects of business. So business can still continue to resume across some of these borders and ports. You're talking billions of dollars at the end of the day. Yeah. You know, this has wide-reaching implications. And these lockdowns, these constraints are not going in place to shut the economy down. It's trying to keep as many people safe as possible at the same time. So that was something that was specified earlier today on the Money Honey show.
Which makes sense. I mean, I get why they're doing it, but I'm just really worried about those people who, even before this was happening, they were living paycheck to paycheck. Now this is just going to destroy them. And I was happy to see that stimulus package is being negotiated. I think they're voting on it tomorrow. And if from what I read yesterday, if the vote goes through tomorrow, president signs it, checks should be going out in the next couple of weeks. It's definitely necessary. I do know that some FMLA provisions has been updated.
Watch your language. Watch your language.
FMLA, Family Medical Leave Act.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Jeez. Good Lord. So some of those provisions are being updated to kind of include some kind of paid leave. Again, everything is happening really fast. I'm still filtering through it. But it's
things are happening so fast. When we recorded last week's show, at the end of the show, and we put the show out, the news came out immediately on the back end of that Tampa Bay was acquiring Tom Brady. It was like when I listened back to the program on Monday, everything we talked about was already out of date, and it was after 24 hours. It was absolutely insane. Do you want to know one story that's not out of date? I got for you both. Ready?
Ready.
Moving on to you. Gotta love that. University of Florida's COVID-19 positive dental student treated patients.
Oh, no.
This was written by Emily Mavrakis, okay? A University of Florida College of Dentistry student, and this is coming from Gainesville.com. It is not a secure website. Feel free to stop by there and read the story. It's a fantastic story. One of the best stories you'll read. A UF College of Dentistry student who treated patients was among those diagnosed with COVID-19. Oof. Now, the someone going to the Florida College of Dentistry, and they treated patients among the confirmed cases, and these are confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Gainesville. The student who traveled to Portugal over spring break continued to work in the school's clinic despite not feeling well. He told his classmates in an email that he shared with The Sun. The infected student said he was tested on March 9th, received the results indicating a positive diagnosis March 12th, and the college suspended clinical activities for the student later that day. The student also said University and College of Dentistry officials asked him not to communicate about his diagnosis because it complicated how U of F must respond.
Yeah.
Quote, I was asked to hold off on a global communication by the college and UF because it complicates how the university must respond as they're still trying to get a handle on this moving target, end quote. UF Health spokesman Ken Garcia said in an email Monday evening that dental students operate in the Doctor of Medicine in Dentistry, the DMD centers, where they provide care under the close supervision of faculty members. Now, another dental student who corresponded anonymously with The Sun said the person who tested positive had performed a root canal procedure the day he was tested. Students spend about 6 hours total seeing patients during one day's shift. The anonymous student described the space as a large room filled with 30 students, 20 faculty, 5 patients at a time, many of whom are elderly or low income. The student also said the college did not provide any information to students about a pending test that would not tell them if it was safe for them to return home to their own families. It continues on. Do you want the rest? I'm reading hold this on. Verbatim. I don't want to give it all away, but there's a lot here.
I'm about to lose it. So hold on. So this person, this dentistry student.
Once again, this is Gainesville.com. If you want to pull this up, and the title of the article is UF COVID-19 positive dental student.
So they were working on a patient on the same day that they were tested. Does it say if they were tested before or after they were working on patients?
they're alluding to the fact that it was before I was not there. I don't know. But this is
so here's the thing. According to the article. That would be crazy. If this person knew that they were being tested for COVID-19, and this was they should not have gone to work.
This was written by Emily Mavrakis, and she does have a link to her Twitter page directly in there. This is dated March 17th.
Wow. So
that's crazy.
So there's a failure there because somebody should have stopped. If they got tested before, they should have quarantined that person until they got those results. That is enough evidence to send somebody home. And not only were definitely. They at school, they were working in close proximity in somebody's mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody's wounds. That is just poor management, if it happened that
way. So as of right now, the College of Dentistry webpage contains information related to the COVID-19. The college said it decided to postpone non-emergency care based on the risks associated with regular operations. Consultations with U of F health experts and recommendations from the Center of Disease Control and Prevention. It did not mention the potential that students or faculty may have been exposed to the virus. And it's a moving target, right?
They were
and while there is a bend and spin put on this story in a way that's it's being put against U of F Health and that College of Dentistry team, you still have to, let's be honest here, they're doing the best they can, right? Or are they?
They can.
I don't know.
Are they, though?
I don't know.
I feel like if a student is being tested for COVID-19, why would they not immediately suspend his ability to work on patients?
So if there's a consideration of like HIPAA or FERPA laws, right? HIPAA and FERPA.
Yeah.
If there's issues or complications with that, is it these are murky waters that a business is trying to navigate right now, right?
So
but even with those considerations, what other than putting the entire UF College of Dentistry at risk, you know, why would you not just suspend that one student from coming in and doing any sort of work?
So what I'd like to do right now is set the stage for the two of you to go back and forth. I'm going to step away from the mic. Ricky, if you want to take the side of the school in their intent of attempting to do the right thing, and Haley, stay on track with where you're at right now in the shock and awe of what's happened here. This would be a great discussion. Absolutely would. Go ahead.
Yeah, shock and awe. So no. Here's where an HR professional is crucial during this time, because yes, JC is right. There is a HIPAA issue here because we're dealing with somebody's personal medical information. But,
true.
But here's the thing, right? We have to balance that person's privacy rights with the health and welfare of everybody else that person gets in contact with.
Exactly.
So the organization has a responsibility to ask specific detailed questions about what that person has done and then take action to that. So I'm going to give you two examples, right? If you have concerns as an employer of an employee who may have had exposure or they're exhibiting some of those symptoms, which is, just cough, fever, chills, stuff like that, body aches, we can, by law, ask the following questions. Are you feeling these symptoms? Have you traveled to any infected area? Is there anybody in your house that's exhibiting these symptoms? If they say yes, self-quarantine.
Yeah.
Send them home, right? Here's where it gets dicey. If you ask those same questions and that person says no, but because of my cancer treatment, my immune system is pretty low and I want to do ABC to prevent this from happening. Now you're walking on very dangerous waters because you cannot take any action based on a pre-existing condition. That is a direct violation of ADA.
Right.
So you've got to have those conversations to really guide it back to if they're exhibiting those symptoms, send them home, self-quarantine. If they want to go home because of a pre-existing condition, then if they ask, send them home. You cannot send them home if they don't want to. That's where it gets really, really dicey. Organizations will get in trouble for that. It sounds like to me in this particular case that JC was talking about, the organization did not have that conversation.
Yeah. I just think, yeah, I mean, I understand that it gets complicated with the HIPAA, and the HIPAA rules or whatever. However, as a healthcare provider, isn't one of the things like do no harm? So if you're in the possible risk of, like, you know, infecting one of your patients, that to me takes precedent over,
right?
You know, like, I just so feel like home. It's like common sense, you know.
Nobody has that, Haley. Nobody has that. That's toilet paper right now.
That's interesting, though, because it makes you wonder about all of the residents and the people overall in all of the hospitals and everywhere, really.
Well, my wife is in the medical field, so I'll worry. I have her take a shower outside before she comes in the house. I'm kidding. She was terrible.
I was like, are you still living at home? Or
you mentioned toilet paper, and that takes us to our last current event story that I have here for you.
All right.
It's time for Florida Man Stories.
This one's coming to you from the NewYorkDailyNews.com. A Florida man arrested, charged with stealing 66 rolls of toilet paper from a hotel. Jeez. He is not on a roll. Florida man was arrested and charged with stealing 66 rolls of toilet paper from a Marriott in Orlando. Local Fox affiliate WOFL reported. Police say Angel, whatever the last name is, Angel, I apologize, Paul. Angel. He's 31, was spotted by a security guard early Thursday morning, placing a trash bag in his van, according to Newsweek. The guard was curious why someone would put a bag of trash in their own vehicle, so he peeked inside and saw the bag was full of toilet paper. The toilet paper was valued at 99 cents per roll, though its true value may be much higher, given its scarcity during the coronavirus epidemic. The gentleman told police that he planned to give the TP to a woman he knew who was poor and unemployed, WOFL reported. He said he wanted to help the woman and her family.
Okay.
That's the end of the story.
With just toilet paper?
Just toilet paper.
That's
okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, the story wraps up here. The gentleman was charged with theft from public lodging establishment, and it is a felony.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a felony.
Really? Wait, how much money is involved here? 99 cents a roll?
Because it's theft from public lodging establishments.
Wow.
It's a felony. Yeah.
Wow. Now felony. He's a convicted felon. Wow. Just because he wanted his ass clean or his neighbor's ass clean, whatever. So, so my wife works at a hospital, right? And before she came home with anything, I told her, look, I know things are going crazy right now. I'm not saying you are, you're not going to do it. But let me tell you, from an HR point of view, there is somebody in charge of shrinkage in your organization. And normally it's about 15, 20% of things get lost.
Only when like it's paper. Cold.
Well, he's such an idiot. So, like, you know, hand sanitizers and masks and stuff like that. And I'm telling her, don't get involved. They're going to be watching that right now. They are going to be watching. And guess what happened last week? Two people got fired because they were taking hands on White's home from the organization. They're going to start watching. Yeah, because now shrinkage went up to 25%. Right. Okay. So somebody's watching that. And especially times like this. Look, so this guy got arrested because he stole some toilet paper from a hotel. But wait a minute. The security guard said he found it odd that somebody would put a trash bag in their personal vehicle. So the security guard went into the vehicle to check what was in the bag?
I don't know if the guy went in the car and started inspecting, but it did say that he looked into it. Yes.
So he's breaking and entering too. Is there going to be any legal ramifications for the security guard?
No idea.
That's messed up.
Might just be doing his job.
Please. That's crazy. Really?
Extra. Yeah.
Going into somebody's car? That's messed up. Opening with an app. That's what happened. Freaking Tesla.
Yeah, this is crazy.
It basically. Is. Let's get used to the craziness. Is it right?
Yeah, it's just.
All right, so a question was posed to Fox News earlier today, and that question was, do we know how well this virus adheres to clothing? Should we wash our clothes upon arriving home? In response, the expert here, Sapphire, Dr. Nicole Sapphire, answering questions on this program, stated, there are viable virus particles on cardboard about 24 hours after being put there by someone. We don't have data that people actually being infected by touching inanimate objects that potentially have the virus on them, but let's just be safe. What I've been doing is when we've had to go out, as soon as we come into the house, we're taking off our clothes, putting them in the dirty clothes basket, washing them right away, and then I immediately take a shower. It may be overcautious, but why not do it right now since you're stuck in your house, is the response to that question. They go on here to say, bottom line is, we want to get our kids back to school. We want to get people working again. We want to make sure that efforts that we're doing right now regarding social distancing is not futile. These are important, crazy questions, man, you know? And one thing that pops into my head, I want to share with the both of you, too. It really brings to light organizations, businesses that are compliant for those that are in wheelchairs, doors that open automatically. You never realized when you're in need of going out to get supplies, how many places where you actually have to open the door with your own hand compared to the places where the doors just automatically open for you. And if you extrapolate that into the thought of people that are in wheelchairs or in situations where it might be harder for them to open the doors, it's just a little eye-opening, you know, especially when a multi-billion dollar business is established and you have doors that you have to pull open with your hands, your little meat patties, you know?
But if you got gloves, you're okay. Doesn't matter. You can touch your face with it. The glove neutralizes the threat. You're good. Just wear gloves. You'll be all right. Wear other things, too. Wear clothes when you leave the house, just not just gloves. And you should be good. That's it. That's it. Gloves and Tito's vodka. That's it. That fixes everything.
I don't know about the two of you, but I'm tired. I'm tired. It's been a tough week. It's been a tough week mentally, emotionally. There's a lot going on with all this. And when you think about like the resiliency factor, it's hard. It's hard to build the new norms, you know? At least, Haley, for you right now, though, you still have that opportunity to go to work every day and still have those people by your side. You know, your routine isn't changing too much, right?
Not too much, no. For now.
Just thinking about that home-based business. Start thinking about those videos. Start thinking about talking to your clients right now. And if they feel comfortable, maybe you go into their house.
Yeah.
You might as well start working in that right now, Haley, because if this thing keeps on the track the way it's going, then
it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time, and you need to get the jump on that.
Need
to jump on that. So,
yeah.
All right.
Going around the room with final thoughts. Haley McCoy, you first.
Everybody just stay safe out there and do what you can to help, you know, your neighbors and your friends and your family and your coworkers through this weird time that we're in. So, yeah.
Yes, I will second that.
Ricky Baez, over to you.
Folks, it's maybe people are experts at being amazing human beings and people are experts at being assholes. This is the time for you to let go of that second one. This is the time where you just need to be a decent human being, be an understanding human being, watch for your neighbors. And if you're a leader of people, make sure that you focus on your employees as a human being. They are just trying to deal with this as much as you are. And you'd be surprised how many of them have other underlying issues that you don't know about. So please keep that in the back of your mind as you're addressing each and every one of their concerns and trying to grasp trying to wrap your hand around this issue that we're all trying to figure out together at the same time. So just be a decent human being.
I want to thank Haley for agreeing to come on today amidst everything. You know, I know we didn't get a chance to talk to you as much as we want to about you and your world and stuff about you.
No, this has been really interesting for me. So.
You brought a lot to the table. No, you're certainly more than welcome. You brought a lot to the table when we're talking about the things that we're talking about today, and your perspective is extremely valued. And as things move forward, we'd love to have you back at some point just to chit chat again and get the common perspective. It really comes in handy. You know, HR people sometimes get into their own head a little bit too far, you know, and it's always good to step out of our own heads and get a different thought process down. Right, Rick?
On a different head, yes. Completely different. So, no, thank you very much. We definitely need to have you back. And I don't know, are you going to be at Disrupt HR Gainesville 3.0 or Cal 1.0? Okay.
Hey, what'd you think of the last one? What'd you think of the last one that you went to?
Me?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was great. I thought that, you know, even though it was focused on HR, you can take that information and apply it to any profession, I think. So it's an extremely valuable thing you guys are doing. I can't wait to go to the next ones. It's fun. It's informative. That's how I feel about it.
You're going next time. Yeah, she's going to speak at the next one.
Oh, God.
She's going to do a do-it-yourself hairstyling video in 5 minutes.
You know, it's pretty fantastic, though, when someone who's not in HR shows up to a Disrupt HR event and gets something to take away. Carry on. That's huge. It's big. It's very good.
Yeah.
Hey, from my end, within my final thoughts here though, too, I do just want to briefly address the fact that we do have a lot more people working from home. We do have a lot more people that are in that remote work capacity, people that may not have been there before. And as leaders and managers emerge into this new workspace, let's just be continue to be respectful of each other's spaces. Mm-hmm. Just meaning in the sense, in fact, that even if you are going to call your team meetings and do things and there's flexible schedules and time, you still only have your employee for 8 hours a day, even though they're in their own house. And there's a certain aspect of self-care and mental health that goes into making sure that we're not getting taken advantage of. So if your employee works for you 8 hours that day, don't ask them to work 10 to 12 hours just because you can take advantage of the situation. That's all. Mutual respect on the table. Let's just keep that. Let's keep the doors and pathways of communication open and everyone understand that, you know, these times are crazy right now. It's crazy. It's very, very crazy. Very big. Very craziest. Craziest times. Yes. Craziest times. Haley, what are some of the best ways people could reach you and or the salon should they desire, please?
Ooh, yeah. Please contact me. The best way is probably through my Instagram. My Instagram handle is Haley K. May Stylist. Uh-huh. It's an underscore. So Haley K. May. Here, I'll pull it up.
We'll put it on the show notes.
Yeah, so that's probably the best way, or you can contact Salon 119, and the number for Salon 119, sorry.
You're good.
Is 352 505-3819. Sorry.
Awesome. No, it's okay. I don't know any of my phone numbers either. It's all right.
Yeah.
If I ever get arrested, I am in trouble. I don't know these numbers. I have no idea.
Like, I need my iPhone.
So just Instagram as of right now, you haven't ventured into the realm of the TikTok.
No, I'm getting the young kids to show me the ways before I get into any of that.
I know TikTok is a little bit out there,
bit out there, but 700 million users, more users on TikTok right now than any social media platform around and or available. Crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It's growing. Isn't it?
It's growing. But here's where I'm at. Like, I pulled a YouTube video to figure out how to use TikTok to somebody. So I know somebody put a video, but then I had to pull another video to help me understand this video. It's just so convoluted. I have no idea how any of this works, but I'll figure it out.
Sounds like we all have homework to do.
Yes, ma'am.
Ricky Baez, some of the best ways people could reach you, and then also some of the best ways people could reach the HR Talk podcast, as well as some of the best ways people could reach the face of the franchise, and some of the best ways that people could reach our intern, as well as senior executive Lucy.
Yes. So we are on Twitter at Podcast HR, Facebook and Instagram, HR Talk Podcast. Email us at HRTalk@biasco.com, or you can call and or text us 407-501-8425. But the best way for you to let us know how much you love or hate the show or any ideas for the show, please give us a like on any of your favorite platforms where you download the podcast. We are on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Player FM, Stitcher, Tuned In, wherever you get your podcast. Please give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think. JC, is this a good time to talk about Space Coast? So, Space Coast, we know for the past few weeks we've been letting everybody know that JC and I will be live at the Space Coast grounds in Melbourne on April 15th. With the current event, that has now been moved.
And the date is in talks right now. We will have a new date to announce coming up, but the April 15th date for that SHRM conference has been canceled.
It's been moved, not canceled. It's important for that distinction.
That date is no longer effective to show up there.
It's not to show up there. It's not. It also the same date that the IRS was going to have the deadline for the taxes. That also got moved as well. So April 15th is becoming less and less relevant as this coronavirus goes on. Sorry for anybody that's born on that date. Your birthday is going to be pretty empty. Just practice social distancing. But yes, we are making some changes. As we get more information on where we're going to be live, we'll definitely put it out on our social media platforms, and we'll definitely keep you guys informed.
One question real quick for you, Haley, in closing before we hit the complete out. Do you want to know why nurses like red crayons?
Why?
Sometimes they have to draw blood. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to HR Talk with Haley McCoy of 919 Salon?
911
Salon? 119 Salon. Haley McCoy.
Well, she just 119.
Yeah, just stalk her. You'll find her. Stalk her, find her on the lines, and then show up there. Get your hairs cut. Even if you've got the corona, she'll take care of you. And then Ricky Baez, all the way in Central Florida, the man, the myth, the legend next to the mouse. It's been a pleasure seeing you today. Want to thank our intern, who shall not be named, who almost got named. Want to thank you for everything that you do, as well as senior executive Lucy, the face of the franchise, and all of the pets and animals that are being well taken care of by the Baez family within the Central Florida area. Thank you so much for continuing to donate and help the wildlife recovery acts of the alligators and species that are native to the Central Florida workspace. With that being said, my name is JC. On behalf of the HR Talk Podcast, ladies and gentlemen, drive safe. Have a good night. Oh, and please, as the week goes by and you listen to news, make sure that you get your news from reliable sources, directly from the sources. If you have any questions, go online, Google it, figure it out. Listen to some of the speeches directly from the people that gave those talks. If an official comes on the internets or the TV to tell you something in particular, and you're unsure about the spin on that, go directly to that specific official source and go
from
there.
What the hell are you talking about?
Okay. I'm being serious. Ladies and gentlemen, drive safe if you're driving. Have a good night.
Corona Light is half price.